difficult. Sometimes I don't get the order, how to present something so delicious. It's kind of like cooking. We have the ingredients and we know the process, but if we serve it in the wrong way, sometimes it just doesn't taste right. You have something sweet and then you have something sour and it doesn't quite work out. And I got to tell you, this morning I wasn't sure what I had. Does anyone remember their spiritual gifts? Is anybody actively using their spiritual gifts? And I'm sure there should be a few yeses here at least. You could just say, yeah, I know my gift and I've been working at it and I'm encouraged. And I just want to let you know that I'm encouraged too. So as you're thinking about that, it might seem a little repetitive. Because we did this before, didn't we? Do you remember? The teaching on the spiritual gifts. So I was confused. I got to tell you, I was studying and I'm going, Lord, where's the revelation? Where's the understanding that I might share something with yours? That there might be food on the table. And I didn't quite understand what he had. And then I started thinking, you ever hear that joke where the preacher goes in, new guy, and there's a sermon he gives and everybody, oh, that was good. I enjoyed that. And the next week they figure, well, let's have him back. Let's see if he's going to be our new preacher. And he comes back and he says the same one. And they're going, well, yeah, that was pretty good. And then he comes back week number three and he goes up there with the same sermon. And then they say, well, I don't know. We got to ask this guy, what's going on? Yeah, it was good at any time. But they ask him, well, what's the deal? You only got one in your pocket? That's all you got? And he says this, and you might know the punchline. He says, well, once you start doing that one, I'll come up with a new one. Yeah, okay. I kind of felt like that this morning, and I'm going, Lord, I hope that's not the case. I hope it's just that I wasn't paying attention, and I missed what you have, and I'm going to ask you that you right now give me the message, because I'm not sure. We have the text before us, and that is a great blessing, that we do have the Word of God. And if we did nothing else but sat here and read the Word of God and where it led us, we would be edified, wouldn't we? We would be encouraged by what God had to say to us without any interpretation from me? Absolutely. And that's the kind of God we have. So let's ask Him that He would teach us now, together, me and you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this beautiful morning You've given us. Lord, we pray that You would be in attendance and that You would be presiding, that You would speak to the hearts of men, that You would give us understanding as to what You would have us do on Your behalf. If You have left us here, we're redeemed and we're looking to You for guidance, that we might serve You. Father, we thank You for those among us that might not know You, and we pray that we would be compassionate to their needs. We would understand how to lift them up and that they might see the cross of salvation. Father, we just thank You for all the things that You've been doing here at Crest for the last 46, 47 years, Father. And we just pray You would continue working and that we might be a blessing before You as we would offer ourselves to You. Father, we thank You for saving us from our sin. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, let's go straight to our text. Does anybody remember? It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay, chapter 12. Did anybody read it this week? We got a couple. It's encouraging. I heard a story this week as I was listening to people speaking on this particular topic, and there was an encouragement. This one lady, she was an older lady, and she'd been doing this for many years. She was Scottish, and she got up and talked to the preacher one day, and he said something about the passage, and she says, oh yeah, I read that a couple times this week, and says, you know why I read it a couple times before I come? He says, no, why? He says, well, I don't want to miss a thing. If you got something, I want to just click and it's there and I got it. I know where you are. I'm walking right with you. Sometimes it's kind of hard to catch up to somebody that's running when you've been sitting. It's difficult. I've tried it. It doesn't work for me. I got to stand up. I got to stretch out. And it takes me a while to limber up. It takes me a while to start walking even. Running, well, might not even be in the equation. And that's kind of like getting into someone else's study. That person may have been studying it for some time, and then they look to open it up and share it, and sometimes we get bowled over a little bit by going, hold, what did he say? How does that fit? I don't get it. And then we stumble, and maybe we don't keep up as well as we could. I'm sure every single one of us here is quite intelligent. We have been given gifts of education. And that education has brought us to a point of understanding. We can read and we can discern things. And that's good. That's very good. If you want to get a good job and you want to buy a house and you want to find a mate, and intelligence goes a long ways. But here we are speaking about the gifts from God. And we could have all the worldly wisdom, and we could miss the entire point of what God has to say. As I think about these gifts, there's many of them, and there's some really good ones, and there's a whole bunch of good ones out there sitting there thinking about how they could serve the Lord. And I really got to say that if you haven't had your chance, if you haven't had your opportunity to serve the Lord in the way that you feel that the Lord has gifted you, well, shame on us for not recognizing it. It is a possibility. Things get overlooked all the time. We get busy, and maybe we don't spend enough time talking intimately with one another, watching one another function. I got to tell you, the other evening I came and I watched the Awana program, and it was good. I seen these people interacting with young lives. And the gifts were being used. These children were learning the Word of God. That's astounding, isn't it? That little children could come and learn the words of Almighty God. Well, the gifts. There are other times when there are other gifts when we see someone needing help at home with maybe some yard work. And people are willing to stand up, and they're willing to go and help. And the body serves one another. I wonder how the Lord Jesus feels about that. Even a simple thing of helping somebody else with their grass. As I consider the costs of these gifts, I definitely am humbled. As I consider the Lord as He ascended the Mount of Skulls, died on a cross, overcame Satan and his wiles, and led captivity captive, giving gifts to men. And I even got one. By his death, I have a gift. I have a gift so precious that you could only measure it by the blood of the Lord Jesus. So dear to my heart that it affects the way I live. I would hope that we all have gifts that we would hold in such esteem. I'm not saying that we don't. I'm not saying that you don't. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to encourage you to take that gift that God has given by His very death and resurrection, that His life would be obvious in yours. He's laid out this scenario. He's laid out a plan that He would have His called out ones assemble together. they would assemble together for His glory. And we would all come with our gift. See, not one of us could survive alone. It wasn't meant to be. Not one of us has all the gifts. It wasn't meant to be. Every one of us who knows the Lord Jesus as their Savior has a gift. That's how He meant it to be. And how He meant it to be was that we would serve each other. The redeemed of God. Those so precious that it cost the blood of Jesus to bring them out, to make them the called out ones. That's a pretty precious gift, isn't it? The cost is, how do you count that cost? I'm encouraged, though. I'm very encouraged as I hear these little things, as I see these people working for the Lord Friday. Magnificent. And as we have our other ministries, as people come here and they clean the floors. Amazing. As there are people out there raking the leaves, building sheds, putting up benches, visiting people, encouraging them with, how are you doing today? Is there anything I could pray for you for? People that would come along with their Bible and say, hey, where have you been reading? Let me share something with you. People that would even see somebody maybe struggling and would take the responsibility and say, I've seen what I've seen and I need to act, and I might not be received quite as joyfully as I'd like. But brother, I've noticed something. Is there a problem? Some of these gifts are difficult. And some of these gifts are it seems like they're unrewarded. Doing the things that nobody's going to see. Cleaning behind the toilet, too. But we do all these things unto the glory of God. The payment was so dear. Our service should be joyful. And I hope that's the way it is for you. I hope that's how you feel as you reflect on it now. Maybe that's not what you were thinking when you came in this morning. You came in and thinking, well, I enjoy my time coming to Parkcrest. I like serving at Parkcrest. I do this and I do that. And I like it. I'm glad I can do this. But as we reflect now, how important it is that we are busy about the things of God, that we might serve one another and we might feel that joy well up and pour out. That's the joy the Lord anticipated for us. And that's why He made it like this, so not one of us would go hungry. Not one of us would go unfulfilled, unserved. See, it's all about Him. And if we look at each one of us and the preciousness that He looks at us, and we serve each other the way He looks at us, could any of us feel unappreciated, unloved, unfulfilled? No, no. See, God's plan is perfect. It's very good. It's very good. Unfortunately, sometimes we have trouble recognizing. Sometimes we have trouble encouraging. But the Lord is gracious. You know, there's those that are busy about their gifts, and maybe there's those that haven't thought about it too much. That's okay. Because the Lord wants to get involved. He wants to be in charge, and He rightfully is. Let's see what He has to say. I know that was a long introduction, but these things are important. These things give much joy when they're operated with love. That chapter is coming up. See, there's an order to these things. as Paul wrote, by the Holy Spirit. There is an order. He was establishing order in a church that had problems. Now, you look out across this expanse, and you find a church that doesn't. So that means we can learn, too. There is order that the Lord has for us, and we can take it from Him. Don't take it from me. At best, I'm just someone that gets to stand up here and share the joy of Christ. It's none of my doing. It's a gift God gave me. I can't take absolutely credit one. Sometimes I stumble and stammer when somebody says, "Oh, that was nice." I don't know what to say to that. It wasn't me. It wasn't mine. It was the Lord's. Let's read what he has to say. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're just going to read a couple of verses here. We're going to split this up. I believe Stephen is going to take the second part. So we're just going to read up to verse 11, and that'll be plenty. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Where did these gifts come from? The Spirit. He makes that absolutely, positively affirmed. No confusion here. These things aren't ours. Like, we didn't come up with them. This is mine, and I'm going to do this. And no, it didn't work like that. There is much scripture to say that the Lord Jesus put the people that He wanted to in the places He wanted to. There's places where it says that God put His people where He wanted to. And it says here that the Spirit gave gifts as He wanted to those to whom ever He chose, those are the gifts that were given. Now, do you think that if God gave a gift, that He wouldn't give the opportunity? No, that doesn't make sense. Absolutely, He would give opportunity to the gifting. Now, sometimes when we're not paying attention one to another, we miss the signals. We miss the understanding of, oh my, this brother, he seems to show up every single time I need a hand. He seems to be there with the right tool at the right time with the right know-how. And wow, this only took an hour instead of all day. That was good. And maybe we forget. And then another one shows up just on time. Here's a little extra. Thought might appreciate it. How did he know? And the gift is exercised. Is it encouraged all the time? No, and that's what I'm saying is maybe it's not always encouraged. Maybe there are some out there that are doing this encouragement because that's another gift, isn't it? The gift of encouragement. I really would like to encourage you all. I'm not saying that I got the gift of encouragement, but you that do, I pray that you would be active. Be active, because what I recognize is as we are encouraged, we come out of our shell. I know I've had trouble encouraging sometimes. Sometimes my encouragement sounds more like chastisement. I'm working on it. These gifts don't just all of a sudden manifest themselves in their full splendor. Remember what was said to Timothy? Stir up the gift that was given to you. We have an active role in this gift. We need to be busy about the gift that we've been given, whatever it might be, and we need to study it, and we need to recognize it in the Scriptures. We need to find it and learn it and practice it. Are we done? Well, even just the practicing, that would take the rest of your life, right? We would need to teach it. What we have, we need to teach to others so that we all are made perfect for the Lord's work. There's gifts. And someone might be able to do this particular gift absolutely beautifully for the Lord. And they give glory to Him every time they use it. And if they don't share it, if they don't take someone along, recognizing that person sitting next to them that's actually paying attention, watching their moves as they would, say, work with the kids or encourage somebody. There's somebody paying attention. I guarantee it. There's somebody watching your moves. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Just a couple chapters back, as people were partaking of meat sacrificed to idols, he said, you watch out, somebody's watching you. And you be responsible for that person watching you. See, there's an order to the Scriptures. As I see these things laid out, they lay principles down so that we might understand fuller as it moves on to the right. In our language, that we might have a greater appreciation for what the Lord is saying, because He speaks in stereo. You ever see that book? I think it's called Jesus in Stereo, Jesus Christ in Stereo. You know what it was? It was a book that was published a while back, and I've never read it, but I heard it was pretty good. What had happened, there was a man, he was a regular guy. He used to go to work every day, and he used to pay his bills, and he used to have a love for the Word of God. He used to love his God. And he didn't seem to think he had much to offer, maybe. He wasn't a speaker, and people were, they were fine. But what he did have was this desire to devour the Word of God. He took it all in. He loved it so much he learned Hebrew. Tough. Tough. He learned Greek because he wanted more. He found that when he read it in the original languages, they were brimming with things he hadn't considered. And as his life went on, you can imagine going to work, got a family, studying the Scriptures, learning languages, understanding God. He ended up writing a book. And it was called this, Jesus in Stereo. And he wrote a scenario of Jesus' walk. And he brought and he unified all the Gospels together so you could go on a time travel, a walking through the Scriptures or through the Gospels. And it was of great wealth to people. The thing is, he lived almost to the day that it was published. His life. His life was spent in this manner that other lives would be greatly encouraged. I guess there's people studying the book in schools. It was quite a masterpiece. It was quite good. And that was his contribution. Going to work, coming home, looking after his family, and studying the Word of God, that others might have a greater appreciation. And I suspect he didn't see a whole lot of fame and glamour or glory because, well, he died before he's seen any of that. And that was what the Lord had for him. He had a gift of, I suspect, knowledge. He was able to take, and now these gifts here, some of them, as we've seen, are foundational gifts. Remember from the first time we went through this? Some were foundational. They were to lay the groundwork for the apostles. The apostles went about healing, and there were tongues. So it was a sign gift for the Jewish people that they might know. And these things passed away. The foundation was laid, and we build upon the foundation with these other gifts, the ones that we have right here in this congregation. And there's this knowledge, and I recognize this, how valuable this knowledge is. Understanding what God is trying to tell them and being able to write it down or to pass it along in such a way that people understand the bigger picture. If it wasn't for these men, I don't know what I'd have to tell you. Because a lot of these things, well, most of these things are far bigger than I am. I don't understand the complexities and how all the different things run in together, and the bigger picture is so magnificent. I can only see it through some of these men that had this gift of knowledge and shared it. Now, there are those that have the gift of wisdom. Very valuable. Very valuable. If you don't know what to do, who would you go to? Well, I hope you go to the Lord, but we see that the Lord resides within his body. And within his body, he has those that he's given the gifts of wisdom. How would we approach this situation? What would we do? And those that had the gift of knowledge would present the facts. The facts would be, this is the fact one, this is the fact two, this is the fact three. The man with the knowledge or the wisdom might come along and say, well, you know, if we arrange it in this manner and we put it like that and we go in this order and step lightly, I think that's a ticket. And then the prescription is followed, and sure enough, there it is. Understanding for this situation and solution that glorifies God in the working of his body. There's a lot of other ones here. I just wonder how many people here have the gift of knowledge and might not even know it. How would you know it? Reading your Bible. Reading your Bible and understanding it. Here's another story. This little old lady. See these ladies there? They got a lot of gifts. This little old lady could barely read a newspaper. Actually, the gentleman said that, she couldn't really read the newspaper. But she could read her Bible. And she read her Bible, and she would be going through the verses. And remember I told you she always read the chapters before she came? She would define what was going on in the scriptures so well that the gentleman, a doctor, a PhD in some sort of magnificent thing, she had the context right. She had the nuance of the verb being active and all these different things. And she came to the right conclusions, he says, just about every time she came up. And I would check it out. I'd go, I didn't see that. And he'd look it over and he'd check the Greek. And sure enough, that was the meaning. I wonder how many people here have that. I wonder how many people have the gift of knowledge too. See, the Lord doesn't leave any body I'm searching for a word. All the parts are there, is what I'm trying to say. All the parts are here in this body to run effectively. We have all the joints, all the marrow, all the organs, all the parts are here. And we need to be actively encouraging, actively growing our gifts, our God-given gifts. Imagine if the king Well, let's say, imagine if the Queen of England came and presented you with a gift, golf clubs. Whatever your sport, whatever your pastime, whatever your joy might be, the Queen of England presents them to you and says, here, try these ones. These are good. And when I come back, I expect to see these things kind of worn down, worn out maybe. And she left and you looked at your new set of golf clubs, your new whatever. Would you let them just sit there? Well, some of us might be tempted to say, oh, I got that from the Queen. This is incredible. Look at that. It glistens. That's not what we should do. If we wanted to honor her by her wishes, we would use those golf clubs. And when she came back, they'd be all green and maybe tarnished. Maybe they'd be glistening because they were well taken care of. Yeah. But you would expect it to be used. I guess we should look at investigating. If we feel, and I guess maybe this is the message, if we feel that, well, I don't know exactly what my gift is, this is the encouragement. Find out. Find out soon. Who do you ask? That'd be a good question. Well, who, how do I know? How do I know I'm not just saying I'm an evangelist? That's what I said. I went and talked to every evangelist in town. Everyone that came through and I says, hey, I'm an evangelist. This is what I love doing. The weirdest thing. I went up to a man who was a soul winner. He has a track record. There's a little trail of assemblies behind him. And he said, you know, I don't know. I don't know if you're an evangelist. And that kind of stumbled me. I was going, what? But I do this. I do that. This is what I do. He says, you know what? You're pretty easy to talk to. Well, I had to take that for what it was worth. And I thought it was worth quite a bit. So I started investigating other avenues. And maybe the Lord would have me as maybe a teacher. One that studied and one that loved to read the Word. And one that loved to dig into what other people thought of the Word and how other people thought about the Word and to try to come to an understanding that I might be able to convey the Lord Jesus and His purposes. Could be. You know what I did? I pursued it. And you know what the Lord did? He opened the way. It's okay. You want to preach and you want to teach? Okay. There you go. I can share with you this, I hope. I can hardly keep up. there's things to study and there's things to talk about to try to understand it, and there's people to reach with the Word. And you know what else? I also get to share the gospel along the way. Because that's the kind of God He is. He knew the desire of my heart to share the gospel. But He says, you know what? I think maybe I'm going to use you like this. Is that okay with you? I said, yeah. See, that's how we can talk to the Lord. That's how the Lord operates. If we are willing to just submit ourselves to His will and to pick up the gift that He's given us, He will glorify Himself in our lives, and He will give us the joy of our heart as we would perform these things, ministries of mercy, of raking someone's yard, of looking after someone else's garden. These things bring joy to the Lord's heart, and He rewards us with His joy in ours. We didn't really get into the defined evaluation of text by text by text, but I think this is what the Lord had for us this morning. I think that's what He wanted to share, that we recognize our gifts and we pursue our gifts, we grow our gifts, and that we would serve it with one another. I read a story here. I'll read this story and then we'll end. It's encouragement. It's encouragement. And this is how it works. Sometimes we have maybe a Sunday school class with one person. Sometimes we might have two. Some days we might have three, and they're all just finished eating a box of chocolates. And that's significant to the Lord. That means a lot to the Lord. That we would take of ourselves and give it to another. In even the seemingly smallest way. Let's read what happened here. It's called The Unending Chain. You may have heard it before. It says, Edward Kimball was determined to win his Sunday school class to Christ. One of the boys, a teenager named Dwight Moody, tended to fall asleep on Sundays. You know, that can happen. But Kimball, undeterred, set out to reach him at work. His heart was pounding as he entered the store where the young man worked. I put my hand on his shoulder, and as he leaned over, I placed my foot upon a shoebox. I asked him to come to Christ. But Kimball left thinking that he had botched the job. His presentation of the gospel seemed halting, and he was downcast. Moody, however, left the store that day a new person and eventually became the most prominent evangelist in America. On June 17, 1873, Moody arrived in Liverpool, England for a series of crusades. The meetings went poorly at first, but the dam burst and the blessings began to flow. Moody visited a Baptist pastor. Let me read this again. Moody visited a Baptist chapel pastored by a scholarly man by the name of F.B. Meyer, who at first disdained the Americans' unlettered preaching. But Meyer, who was soon transfixed and transformed by Moody's message, at Moody's invitation, Meyer toured America. At Northfield Bible Conference, he challenged the crowd, saying, "If you're not willing to give up everything for Christ, are you willing to be made willing?" That's good, isn't it? That remark changed the life of a struggling minister named J.W. Chapman. Chapman proceeded to become a powerful traveling evangelist in the early 1900s, and he recruited and converted a baseball player named Billy Sunday. He did some incredible things. If you'd see him up here preaching, I tell you, you wouldn't be sleeping. He was quite the preacher. Anyways, under Chapman's eye, Sunday became one of the most spectacular evangelists in America's history. His campaign in Charlotte, North Carolina, produced a group of converts who continued praying for one another. Such visitation of the Spirit. In other words, they were praying for a visitation of the Spirit like they had seen before. And in 1934, they invited evangelist Mordecai Ham. I'm not sure who he was, but he was valuable. Just like that Sunday school teacher. Big names mixed with maybe not so big names. And their importance was huge. And then it says, the evangelist Mordecai Ham to conduct a citywide crusade. It was during that crusade that Billy Graham was converted. Are there any small jobs? Are there any small things to do for Christ? Could be one day one of you here has a great effect on a life. That'll have a great effect on a life. And the glory to God will not be known until it's counted up there. This is what he's given to each one of us. Opportunity. A gift. May we use it for his glory. That he might see many saved through even our feeble efforts. As the Sunday school preacher felt like he failed, he had won a great victory for the Lord, really by the Lord, because he set it up. big names and small names, they're all the same before the Lord, aren't they? Let's ask him to bless us now. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time you've given us today to, again, look into your word. Father, we pray that we would have your heart and your mind, that we might be busy about your work, that we might see your name lifted up here in Parkcrest, here in Burnaby. Father, we pray for your guidance, that you would lead us and we would be willing to be changed into the image of your Son. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.